connecting stream. You know what that's good.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. And then you see it's 11 o'clock, and bam.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, I know that you'll get it done anyway, because you just don't procrastinate. You just don't put it off, because you're a doer. And that's what we need. Warriors that are doers. So I appreciate that. Good morning, family. This is African Perspectives. We review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. And yes, this program truly is unapologetically African. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed, and click on that and follow that. And although there are some previous recorded programs right there on the website, just go to timeforanawakening.com, because my good brother, Brother Kwaku, have dated and titled them. We're ready to go. We're going to put more up there, so it's going to be all good. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media, on Mondays, all times are going to give are Eastern times. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming from Philadelphia, 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black, 365, from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, from 8 to 10. On Wednesday, today, this evening, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, and her program is 8 to 10. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., I'll have to get the correct information, but it's a couple, and they're giving out good advice on Thursdays now at 7 p.m., Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters. It is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. on Friday. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Saturday Sports Talk. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., that's right, it ain't me. It is Sister POC and Revive on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's time for awakening again, 7 p.m. on Sunday. Brothers and sisters, give them a listen, and all the programs here, calling number is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. They produce the soap, the laundry detergent, razors, batteries, all kinds of stuff. And if you are in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. They have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. You can pick that stuff up there. But if you're not, go to WeBuyBlack.com. And buy some stuff from WeBuyBlack.com.
That's right.
Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayembe, please give him a call. He's ready to take a group of our people once again to the motherland. It's going to be May 22nd to June 4th. The cost is only $3,700. Give Brother Bomani a call to see if there's room for you, or make out a plan, because it's still opportunity to you to pay on and to get that great opportunity to go to the motherland. Brother Bomani Tayembe's number is 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to check out photos from previous tours, check out facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to check out videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007. He has some other tours aside from the May 22nd to June 4th in Ghana for $3,700. He has a trip going to South Africa, November 22nd to December 2nd, going to Johannesburg and Cape Town. And then he has a trip around the holiday time, December 24th to January 4th, back to Ghana. So check out my good brother Bomani Tayembe, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Go to his website. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End. Shrine of the Black Madonna, they got everything you need. They got furniture, they got clothes, they got the red, black, and green shoes, they got Kwanzaa kits. I mean, they got it all. They also have a Holocaust, African Holocaust Museum. That's right, 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End, 404-549-8676. That's right, 404-549-8676. They also have a class, Know Thyself, every Saturday. It is free and open to the public from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Know Thyself. They also, if you can't make that, you can purchase the history and put it on for your media library, your multimedia library, over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is, brothers and sisters, 4.5 terabytes of Africa enlightenment. Check that out at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Also to the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, which is right near the We Buy Black kiosk that they have in the Greenbrier Mall. So check that out, okay? The Medu Bookstore. Medu means writing. And there's a word that goes after Medu, and that is Netcher. Medu Netcher, and that means writing of the gods. Okay, and if you go there and they don't have the book that you are looking for, believe me, they'll get it for you. Another bookstore we promote here on African Perspectives is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Kazimde Ajamu, my good brother, and you can call him at 404-519-8107 in Lithonia. You know, there is a light in the Black Dot. They have books, other stuff. They have the red, black, and green shoes, and if they don't have them, they'll get them for you. So check them out. Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. We have a conference this weekend. That's right, the Ulu Conference is happening this weekend. Get Brother Baba Akima and to come in to talk about the Ulu Conference. It is going to be, we're having a meet and greet at the cafe, Cafe Ulu. And then we're having the conference on Saturday at the Interdenominational Theological Center in, which is part of the Atlanta college system, university system, with Morehouse, Spelman, Clark Atlanta, and Morris Brown. In fact, it's near Morris Brown, which of course has lost their accreditation, unfortunately. But that's where we're having that, right there in the Atlanta College System. Also, too, we're a co-op, and we put our monies together, and their program is tomorrow night. They're still going to have the radio broadcast tomorrow night for Ulu, which is on Blog Talk Radio. And the number to call from 9 p.m. to 10 tomorrow, the number to call is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, 9 o'clock tomorrow, Cafe Ulu, located in here in Atlanta.
at 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza. We sell coffee. We are closed on Monday, but from Tuesday through Friday, we open up at 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., I apologize. And then on Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So please check us out and check out the conference. And if you want to purchase something and you're not in the Atlanta area, go to CafeUlu.com and purchase some coffee or some other things that we offer. Okay? Cool. Akabin Institute and Akabin House, the 20th anniversary was last week, Saturday. And it's beautiful. And we're still trying to help raise money for Baba Baruti and Yah Baruti for to keep the Institute going. And so you can make a check out to Akabin, A-K-O-B-E-N, Institute. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. I'll say it again, Akabin Institute. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. You can also go to PayPal and Cash App using the dollar sign and Yah Baruti's name. Yah, Y-A-A. M-B-I-R-U-T-I. All right, brothers and sisters. We're going to go into the daily revolutionary thought, the Inye Sesem. The Inye Sesem, the book of revolutionary thought. And today, March 12th. The basic difference between socialist society and a capitalist society does not lie in their methods of producing wealth, but in the way that wealth is distributed. Julius Nyerere. Pan-African nationalist socialism is the only political philosophy that can bring us safely back home. Pan-African, of course, means the inclusion of all African people globally in this effort and benefit. No matter how diverse or tainted our blood may be, we are one family forming one nation, Ashe. Nationalism speaks to the political character of African people and turns our attention toward the motherland as a natural home of our political core. Nationalism also centers us in the land question, directing our thoughts toward a need for a stable, protected, identifiable geographical place where we have our most ancient and profound roots. Socialism is the directive of the nature of our interaction with each other, economic and otherwise. It makes the needs of individual people, their families, and surrounding community the social priority. A deep sense of honor and obligation rule this way of social relationships. And, of course, this deeply personal priority goes all the way up to the national level, but never loses its humanistic simplicity as we shift our focus from micro to macro levels. Affirm, my wealth is my community. Affirm, my wealth is my community. March 13th. What do I care about death in the cause of redemption of Africa? I would die anywhere in the cause of liberty. A real man dies but once, but a coward dies 1,000 times before his real death. Marcus Mosiah, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. There is no doubt that we are witnessing the fall of the Western Empire. The question is whether or not we are ready and really prepared. Are we waiting for anarchy to pave the way by fractionalizing Europeans from the inside and then begin to consider our options with incompletely re-Africanized minds, or are we doing self-liberating work while they destroy themselves? These tireless, brave warriors urging us forward towards spiritual, psychological, physical, and mental preparedness must be our dominant voice. The option of liberation must be made available to the ears of every awaking African. When voices raised from our African center, there should be a movement in the direction of those voices to secure and protect them. Every effort must be made to ensure that they are not silenced
by external or externally governed internal forces. We know our enemies. We know their methods of suppressing and silencing those who courageously guide our righteous rage through their words and actions. Our children are afraid to be African because they have read of and witnessed the murders. This can no longer be the case. This can no longer be the case. Affirm, I am willing to die in the cause of our liberation. Affirm, I am willing to die in the cause of our liberation. The Yinye Sesem of Revolutionary Daily Thoughts. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I hope everything is well with you today. Today is Wednesday. And I want to say we missed this brother. He has been gone from us for a minute for a number of reasons. But he's back. And but not only is he back, he's literally back here with me. And that is Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. Welcome, my brother.
Good morning, my brother from another mother. Always an honor to be on your programming. Always a blessing.
Well, I appreciate, you know, what you bring to the table in our discussions, you know, because we are at war for the minds of our people. And that's why, to me, it is critically important, as far as I'm concerned, to consistently have this conversation about what's affecting our mental capacity, our thoughts, you know, how we interpret things and how we look at things. I think it's critically important that we deal with that. In fact, the last two things I read on Revolutionary Thought, the one from Julius Nyerere and the one from Marcus Mosiah Garvey, speaks to that. It speaks to the importance of us, you know, separating ourselves from the mental ignorance that we see on a constant basis. But understand something too, though, Brother Frank, is that we need each other. No, not all of us are going, because some of us, our minds are so messed up. It's literally impossible to instill, you know, because see, ignorance is simply absence of knowledge. Ignorance in itself is not bad. It just means you just don't know. Just like I don't know, if, you know, somebody said, well, we're going to deal with some quantum physics. Well, I don't know quantum physics, okay? I'm ignorant of quantum physics. But if somebody helps me, that would end my ignorance, and I can go ahead and deal with quantum physics, at least have a cursory knowledge of it. And I'm saying there's a lot of ignorance on our part simply because, you know, we don't, a lot of us, you know what, Brother Frank? A lot of us don't want to know, because by knowing automatically should cause the behavior and a change in you to be a better person.
If a person is born ignorant to parents that are ignorant and society that is ignorant lives a life of ignorance, then ignorance becomes the norm. Thus, indoctrination can be called education and lies can be called truth, because this person never knew the truth. Therefore, his mind was never his own. Unfortunately, this is the reality faced by we descendants of Africans that were enslaved or brutally colonized by Europeans. We have been stripped of our true history, spiritual system, and have instead been fed many lies that are designed to make us think in ways that serve the interests of white societies. In fact, the minds of some black people are so deeply indoctrinated with white lies that they stubbornly resist all mentally liberating truths. They even fight to defend lies that their ancestors fought to resist. It is time for us to wake up. Therefore, the black slaves of the 21st century are only those who can unlearn the many mentally enslaving lies they've been taught to whites. This is why this program is so important. It's time for our people to wake up.
And that's why we're on Time for an Awakening Radio. We're trying to wake you up. You know, there was a piece I used to tell the young people when I used to work with them. You know, I would say, in the morning, and when it's, you know, the sun is coming up, but there's something that you hear to let you know it's morning.
Yes.
You know? And I said, well, what do you think that is? And somebody would answer correctly, a bird. And I would say, yeah, that's right. I'm a damn bird chirping. I'm a bird. I'm trying to wake you up, you know? I'm trying to put something on your mind. I'm trying to get you to step outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us. Why we can't think in a way that is liberating. Why we can't think in a way that is collective. Why we can't think in a way that we have a respect for one another. And eliminating that ignorance you know, and our ability to release the vice grip that these crackers have on our minds.
The greatest problem we face is the monopoly that white society have over our minds. They control our educational system, our media image, and our societal narratives. This allows them to negatively tell us who we are. We must recognize the system that's being used against us in order to overcome it, because you cannot overcome what you don't understand. We must realize that our plight and condition has nothing to do with a willing slave syndrome or a biblical fairy tale. There is a secret fear of black retribution that exists among those white governments that has been mistreating black people for 400 years. In fact, this is the 400-year anniversary since the first slave was brought to America. If you believe that our plight is conditioned to a biblical fairy tale written by oppressors or the Willie Lynch myth, then you are amongst the ignorant ones. It's time to realize how we have been socialized to think in ways that serve the interests of the white society. When our children go to school, in fact, this was discussed 80 years ago in The Miseducation of a Negro, how our children are being educated to think in ways that serves in the white dominant society. We are being made to believe that we are our own worst enemies. We must recognize how we've been socialized in order to overcome this situation. It's time to wake up, brothers and sisters.
Time for an awakening, and it starts right now. It starts this moment. Because, see, our liberation really was yesterday's work. But we didn't do it. And so many people say, well, that's tomorrow's work. Well, tomorrow needs to be done right now. In fact, when you understand the dynamics of what we're dealing with an entity that has been for some time trying to eliminate us off the planet. And I know for some of us it's hard to see, especially in this society, because there are some of us who really, you know, I mean, there's some of us that are really glad that we're not African. There are some of us who, I mean, as sick as it is, who are really glad that we were stolen, we were captured and taken and brought here. And even though the horrors and all that we've done, they're really still really glad that after all of that, that their family settled, whatever that hell they settled at, and their family worked and so forth. And then now they, some of them live in a integrated neighborhood or a Caucasian neighborhood. In fact, they might be the only ones there. Cause when you understand something, the Caucasian, let me dispel that word integration. There never has been, never will be integration, because what integration means is that you have what you have, I have what I have, and we bring it together. The cracker did not want anything that we had. In fact, the cracker really wanted us dead after our captivity was over, after we had worked and done all that we'd done. They really wanted us to just disappear. So there never was integration. It was a forced assimilation, a forced indoctrination.
Brother, you are absolutely right, 100%. America's schools were never integrated. If they integrated a school, that means they would have brought forth the accomplishment created by black people as well as white people, and we come together and we educate, developing a mutual respect for one another. That would be true integration with an educational system. That didn't happen. What they did was place black people into schools where we were taught to admire and respect whites and to believe less of ourselves. This is not integration. This is a simulation. This is an indoctrination. And we wonder when our children graduate from school believing less of themselves. It's because the school system, for many black people, their school is the first place they begin to feel that there's something less about being black. This is all by design, because for a dominant society to maintain their dominance over the oppressed, the education given to the oppressed must be the least racially affirming. White students are being miseducated to believe that they are superior and are supposed to rule over black people. And black students are being educated to believe they are lesser than whites. We have to understand that the information that we receive are all tailored to maintain the status quo of white society. When we send our children to school, if all you're looking is for is A's and B's in a report card, and you're not seeking out mentally liberating black education to help them, you're doing a disservice to your children. We must recognize those who control information is the white society, and these information are always distorted to perpetuate the myth of white superiority. They're designed to maintain the white status quo. We must recognize psychological warfare all around us.
And prepare ourselves in the best preparation for psychological warfare is an infusion of knowledge of self, developing the kind of, see, I'm at a point, dear brothers and sisters, a cracker can't tell me sugar, honey, iced tea. I don't want to discuss with them. I don't want to debate with them. Okay? I'm serious. To me, it comes to a point to liberate your mind from the ignorance that has been posed upon us and the belief that Europeans are, I even hate to use the words, it's kind of hard, because you know I don't like to use, do you know there's certain words that I don't use? I don't use the word slave to describe us, because we were not slaves, we were captives. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to the master. We have never submitted. We fought on the continent. We fought in the Middle Passage. We fought in this hemisphere. Over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting. So we were never a slave. And so when people say, yeah, the slave, like Lincoln freed the slaves, or Europeans brought over slaves. No, they didn't. They didn't bring no damn slaves. They brought human beings. They brought human beings of various skills, which has been proven by the history. I don't use black because we're not black. And they ain't white. They Europeans, they Caucasians. But you see, because of how they control the narrative, what are the descriptions and the definitions of being white? Good, papayas, you know. What are the descriptions of being black? Sullied, ugly, ignorant, you know what I'm saying? Because they are the ones that do. So I'm saying there has to come a point in time that we make a choice. Either we're going to be African or we not. Either we're going to come in the house or stay out. I'm serious. It has to come that point. Because many of us who don't want to be African, just like I said earlier, there are some of us who are glad that Europeans colonized us. They're glad that Europeans took us and brought us here to this hemisphere. There are some of us who are glad at that fact. And some of us who are living in an environment where they have, and it's definitely possible that they, because they're the only ones there, they're treated real nice by the other Caucasians. And then their mindset is Caucasian people are good. They're kind. You know, they're helpful. I go to their schools. You know, I go shop at their stores. I even now attend one of their churches, that boring ass shit. I do all of that. You know.
Brother Oshie's absolutely correct. There are many, many African Americans who literally feel grateful for the enslavement of their ancestors. They have been socialized to believe that we were the lucky ones. I'm glad we were taken out of Africa. It is no coincidence that we think in ways that serves and benefit the dominant white society. These thoughts have been indoctrinated into our minds. The constant negative depiction of Africa that distorts the negative to the point where it becomes not reality is by design. It literally makes us feel grateful for our enslavement. It prevents us from demanding the reparation that we deserve. We must understand our information comes from the white dominant society. And the information they feed us is designed to mold our thoughts to think in ways that serve their interests. It is no strange coincidence that millions of black people now believe it is we who are our own worst enemies. These thoughts that benefits the white society have been downloaded into our minds. We must recognize how the monopoly the white society have over our minds is being used to manipulate our minds. Until we do this, we will never be liberated. We have to recognize that they have created a prison for our minds. Those blacks who do not critically think and question all information you see from white sources never realize what it's doing to them, and they end up becoming self-hating.
And that's why we need an independent educational system, not just for our children, but for us, for all of us. Because, you know, the younger people, the children, definitely so, but for teenagers, young adults, the so-called, quote, millennials, we need an educational system, an independent educational system that helps us understand who we are and what our responsibility is towards one another and who we are historically and culturally. We are Africans. And probably the most important thing that we can do is prepare ourselves to go home. I mean, mentally. If you don't want to leave the United States, because some of us can't for various reasons, I'm preparing myself to do so, but that's me. That's me. What I'm asking of us is that we prepare our minds. So Africa is in your heart and in your mind, even though you live in Milwaukee, LA, Atlanta, whatever, or even in the Caribbean, you live in Barbados. Because the understanding is this: the Jamaicans, the Cubans, the Puerto Ricans, the Barbadians, all of that, those are African people brought there. And they mixed with the indigenous people, or if they were still living there, because you know, the Europeans, the Spanish, the Portuguese, the British, and so forth, a lot of times they want to eliminate indigenous people. But what they have done, because they, indigenous people said, I ain't going to be, I'm not going to be working this land. Hell, this is my land. You're not going to enslave me on my land. That's why the indigenous people here, they weren't going to be working no damn cotton fields. They weren't going to be working in the big house, because this was there. They had hundreds of years, and culturally they knew who they were. But because we were stripped and divided, making sure that we couldn't communicate with one another, and then the main thing they put into us, the main thing they put into us was fear. Fear. There's three things that I know that we need to purge ourselves of: fear, ignorance, and individualism. Fear, ignorance, and individualism. Those are the things that really hurt us.
Yes, there was also a biological component of also why they couldn't use the Native Americans. Many millions of Native Americans was dying due to the diseases the Europeans brought: syphilis, gonorrhea, smallpox, measles. You don't hear about this in the storybooks. The story you hear is designed to perpetuate the myth that the whites were so more dominant fighters that they just wiped the Indians out. But the Indians were dying in thousands and thousands, up to millions, died because of diseases. So they realized that the Africans had a stronger immune system. That's why they traveled over 8,600 miles to Africa, round trip, come back, round trip, because the Africans had the stronger immune systems. You know, until the story of the black lion is told by the lion, the story we hear will always benefit the white hunter. And that's the narrative we get. We keep getting a false version of history where they hide that they're evil. Even, for example, they created a narrative that that they are Africans who turn white. And they say that they're albinos. And many black people have signed on to that narrative. But if you research, you'll find that's never been a fact. It's always been a theory. And there's a racist component to that narrative, because whites are saying that they are superior evolved Africans. Superior evolved Africans. But if you study the latest data, white people are not albinos. Yes, we see albinos born in Africa, and because their skin is white, that is not an indication that that's where whites came from. If you study the latest data, it confirms that white skin is result of Neanderthal DNA. They are not albinos. They always create a narrative that exalts themselves and denigrate others. We must stop functioning based upon white false narratives.
And see, this human development within the Neanderthal took over thousands of years when Africans migrated out of Africa, got cut off by the Ice Age, and mutated. That's right. I said it. Them crackers are mutants. They mutated. I'm just being funny. But you know, I'm not funny, because this ain't funny. That's why I don't call this a show. This ain't no damn show. It's a program. And I'm trying to reprogram your mind, trying to give you the most pertinent information. So when these Caucasians got cut off by that ice age, no longer did you need that slender body. Your body became stocky, fat. No longer did you need that close curled hair. Your body, your hair became stringy and straight to help insulate you from the cold weather. Your nose no longer was broad. It became thin to warm the cold air before it got into your lungs. Your lips became smaller, really thin lips, like a monkey. Hell, they look like monkeys. And so to hold in the heat, okay, that's what had to happen, because if you don't adapt to an environment, you'll do what? You'll die. That's why every living organism adapts to the environment that it finds itself in, but if it doesn't, you die. And so those Caucasians adapted to that environment, but that environment is what? Harsh, unforgiving. And so the people who come up in that environment, how are they? Selfish, greedy, mean, you know, taking, not sharing, a belief in me and mine, the hell with you and yours. A belief that survival of the fittest. We didn't have no concept of no damn survival of the fittest. That concept was, we will all share. We will all share together. We're all fit to work with one another to do what's right. The ancient civilizations on the continent of Africa grew and became great. Kemet, Nubia, Timari, Punt, along the Nile River, became great, not because they were selfish, not because that a few people had at the expense of everybody. No. It was a society born out of service to one another. You know, that's why we have to understand this, brothers and sisters. It's coming up, and I'll talk about it in a few more weeks or when I get back from Africa, because it'll be Easter. And I'll go over that bull, that story, because it never happened. The Exodus never happened. But we must have an Exodus. It never happened at that time in his story, in that story, but it must happen for us now. We must prepare ourselves for the Exodus. Yes, I just said earlier, not all of us are going to go. But damn it, we must prepare to go home and work with brothers and sisters on the continent to prepare the continent to be coming into the so-called 21st century with technologies, infrastructure, roads, highways, ports, and so forth. That is our quest. Because listen, brothers and sisters, we can't do it here. And the brothers and sisters who have to stay here, I understand that. Have to live with that, but you can still have your right mind. You can still be a straight up man, a straight up woman. Do your job, do whatever you have to do, and send money back home. Help people back in Africa. Lend expertise. Bring people over here to help train them so they can go back. Do you know how big of a brain drain the continent has experienced with cats from all these countries coming here to go to school, many of them not going back home, but although that was the initiation, that was the initial impetus back then, you go to, just like the Japanese, after they dropped that bomb on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, Japanese were able to come here. In fact, they bought into a management plan by this Caucasian named Edward Demmings. He had a different management plan than what had been happening here with the structure here. The structure here is a pyramid structure with a CEO or an owner at the top, some middle managers after that, at the base, a whole labor class who are exploited. So when he presented the middle management program here, the Caucasians said, no, we don't want that. Ours worked the best because it works for the few at the expense of the many. His was a more holistic plan, and the Japanese bought into it. Look where the Japanese are today. Back when I was a kid, we used to buy made in Japan. I grew up in the 50s. Actually, I was born in the 50s. I really grew up in the 60s. But at that time, made in Japan was considered inferior. But they kept doing it, and they kept going. And so now, made in Japan, their cars, their electronics and so forth are highest of quality. Because why? You know, you cannot oppress a historically conscious people. When people don't know who, when people believe, just as Brother Frank said, the narratives that Europeans have imposed upon us, then no. Your mindset, you cannot think freely. You cannot think liberate. You cannot think in a liberated way. You think in a closed-minded situation where you think that you have never done anything. You think and you believe. You believe that you were running around the jungle with a rag up your ass and a bone through your nose, never having created a civilization of any kind, of any note, of any worth. And we all know today nothing could be furthest from the truth.
Critically think for a moment. Have you ever noticed that black people are the only people who boastfully put down their entire race? We don't see Chinese speaking negatively of China or Japanese speaking negatively of Japan, but we black people do. Do you know, every negative thing that we believe about our race comes from white sources. Here's a little historical fact you need to know. The oppressed perception of themselves throughout history has never been a true one. It is always a false negative perception that has been shrewdly indoctrinated into their minds by their oppressors. Because oppressors maintain their dominance by keeping the oppressed demoralized. By constantly inundating us with negative information about ourselves, this creates a setting where we start distrusting each other, hating each other, fussing among each other, and we start believing that we are our own worst enemies. This psychological warfare program, this combines the hardship that we experience living in poverty in the ghettos with their propaganda, which then solidifies it within our mind that there is something less about being black. We have to recognize what's being done to us. On this 400-year anniversary since the first slave arrived here, it is time to recognize how the monopoly the white oppressive forces have over our minds, how they use it as a weapon against us. Within the U.S. government, there are departments that are designed to control the black population. They say it's for national interest there to prevent dissent from arising among black population. And they put out propaganda that is designed to turn us against ourselves. So if we attempt to join forces to liberate, we have to fight through those millions of black people who have been brainwashed to fight to defend the system of white supremacy. The way to overcome this is to study it and understand it and teach it to others. We must put down our beliefs in silly myths and fairy tales and recognize the socialization of our minds in order to liberate ourselves.
And see, a lot of us don't want to deal with that, Brother Frank. They don't want to deal with that because they're scared. That's the fear that has been instilled in us, that we're afraid of what the cracker going to say and, of course, what he's going to do when we come into this situation. So we're afraid to purge ourselves of that ignorance and instill into our minds of confidence,
yes,
knowledge, and history.
If you pay attention, you will notice that the white society has labeled black liberating information as racism, anti-white. That's by design. They label it so that we will not spread that information. When we're on Facebook and we put out liberating information, they ban us, block us. There is a deliberate attempt to hinder black liberating ideologies, black liberating knowledge, share of information.
Black liberation extremism. That's what they're calling it. And they're targeting those of us like myself and Brother Fank and the other brothers and sisters who are speaking this special truth. We are black liberation extremists. And so the FBI,
yes,
and other entities are, you know, they label that one brother a black liberation extremist,
yes,
and they harassed him, put him in jail and so forth. And of course they kick you off the web. Kick you off programs and so forth, you know, off Facebook, whatever, you know, if you're bringing that forth, that information, because it goes contrary to the information that you see and receive on a constant basis, because everything, brothers and sisters, everything the European does, everything is to help maintain and sustain the privilege they created for themselves. This, you know, they never wanted to have an integrated society, okay? They never wanted to have fairness, justice, equality, never, with other human beings. Everything was designed for them and to subjugate those who are outside of themselves. And, of course, if you know me, you know my favorite book is by Dr. Marimba Ani. Urugu. And Urugu is the incomplete being. That's what we call the European. Urugus. They're incomplete. And the subtitles, the Europeans, and Urugu is an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior. We're looking at them. They've always looked at us and they said all kind of crazy stuff about us. We're looking at them. We're analyzing their history. Malcolm said it best, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. We're going to take a call before we go to a break. Caller 646, caller 646.
Hey, oh, Ocean and Brother Franklin, what's going on? How y'all good brothers doing today?
We're doing fantastic. Thanks for calling in, brother.
Hey, listen, man, I'm just calling to ask y'all two brothers, what you think of this college scandal going on with these crackers paying millions of dollars to get their dumb ass kids into these colleges?
That's been going on since these crackers created it. These are lying, cheating sons of the... This is no surprise, it's nothing. You know, in fact, what crackers say is, well, you know, they gave coloreds affirmative action and Latinos affirmative action, you know, and they got into some good schools because of that. You know, but they have been cheating and paying off, I mean, from time beginning. You know, and so I think what it is I told my daughter, because my daughter asked me about it, and I said, probably what it is, somebody didn't get in. And so they spilled the beans. You know, that's probably what happened. They just wanted to expose the whole situation because they didn't get in.
I think that's what happened. From what they said, somebody got in trouble on something else and knew about it and gave it up. But the whole thing is, when you look at it, this is what one must explain to their kids, especially from our perspective. The cracker ain't that smart. See, a lot of times our kids think that the cracker is smart. And I know them being around them. They kids are dumb as dirt, a lot of them. I've been in situations to where as I've been chauffeuring, you know, doing the driving Mr. Daisy thing.
Oh, you doing it now, huh?
No. This was years ago.
Okay.
Years ago. And I would have real rich clients. See, when I was doing it, as a limo driver. So this was before Uber and all of that. So I was getting a lot of time, you know, elites. You know what I mean?
Sure,
Wall Street
sure.
And all of that because I'm in New York. And sometimes you would pick them up and they would have their kids with them. And let me tell you something. I knew from there their kids were dumb as dirt. Because not only the way that they talk, but just the interaction and the manner in which these little yurugles would act and behave. I knew they were stupid. And over time, you just see it. Like you said, a lot of do with privilege. That's all it is white privilege and what they're willing to pay. I mean, think about the type of money that these people were willing to pay to put their kids in that situation.
Hey, Jay.
While in that situation,
hey, Jay.
They're still paying.
Jay.
Because they got to have people write their term papers and do all of that other stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, it's crazy.
Hey, Jay. One of the Caucasians spent $500,000 twice to get her kids into a noted university. The one Caucasian only spent $15,000 to get her child into a noted university.
But just think about having that type of money to get your dumb ass kid in the college. Then on top of that, you got to spend more money. You know, I mean, it's just mind-boggling when you really, really put it into context.
Jay,
and then you wonder why society is the way that it is.
Jay, I venture to say, out of the number of billionaires, I would say, and I don't know, and if maybe somebody in the listening audience does know and could correct me. But I venture to say, out of the multiple billionaires there are in the world, but no, let's just keep it here in America. I venture to say less than half have gone to a school and have not graduated. I'll venture to say that. And, you know, hey, I could be wrong. But the point I'm making is this. The point I'm making is this. Is that there are many people who did not go to a college or university and graduate and in their studies went out and then created something after graduation that became huge or monumental. They did that sometimes in somebody's backyard or in a garage or in the basement or in the front room of their home. Hell, might have been in their bedroom. You see? So it doesn't make a difference. But see, these folks wanted their children to have that title, that prestige of going to USC, Stanford, Georgetown. They only named some of the top schools, MIT, Harvard, Yale, Princeton. They wanted their kids to have that title. You see, dumb as a box of rocks, because they're already rich. They got money. But the prestige of that child having that title, what they felt was just as important. And so they were willing to do whatever they felt they needed to do illegally to make it happen.
Well, that's what you call capitalism. That's what you call white America. Because believe me, half of those kids are retarded any damn way. I mean, look at this mutation that they got in the White House now, son. That boy's brain is partially broke. I mean, that's reality. Mr., as they say, Barron Trump, brain is partially broke.
Well, look at his offspring. Look at his two sons.
He should be on the short bus. I mean, the reality is that the president is a dumbass. He just smart enough to fool the American people who mostly are dumbasses.
Exactly. But look at George Bush Jr.
He is a dumbass.
Junior and the other one. They're both.
We got this based on legacy. It wasn't based on his talent. The problem is the majority of American people are dumbasses. So whereby when you're a dumbass, you produce dumbasses.
Well, that's what Brother Frank said at the beginning. That's what Brother Frank said at the beginning. If you're ignorant, you'll produce folks who are ignorant. And
how could you be a Ochi in Franklin? How could you be a great country with someone like Donald Trump as your leader?
This country has never been great. Ever. You cannot be great. You cannot be great with murdering people, stealing land, stealing resources, putting people in captivity and working them from KC in the morning to KC at night while you lay your funky ass around. You cannot be great. This country has never been great and never will be great. The foundation of this country is built on murder, is built on theft, built on intimidate. No, you cannot be great. You know, make America great again. Hell, it was never great. I want to get a hat, though, Jay. I want to get a hat that says, make Africa home again. How about that one, huh?
Hey, that's what it should be. I mean, I'm just not surprised at all by this. I mean, I just think that this is the way that things are set up. I just want to know, are them crackers going to do any jail time? That's all I want to know. Are they going to be able to get away with it and not have to do any jail time and be able to do whatever they choose to do? Because listen, and believe this, there's going to be somebody else to come along and restart it up again. And there's it going on now, even though this guy is caught. So don't make it seem that this is something that's now going to stop.
That guy who helped all those individuals who had that money to get their way into all of these schools, he will do jail time.
Yeah.
He will. He will be, the other people will pay fines. They're not going to do any jail time. They'll pay fines. But that dude, the sword is going to fall on him. You know, but Jay, you're right. That system will continue. They'll continue to find other ways to buy into the system because that's what they do. Jay, I'm going to take a break. Okay. I'll take a break. You stay with us and we're going to be back on the other side. Okay. All right, brother.
All right.
Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us. Once again, the number to call is 215-490-9832 to join this conversation. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Everybody knows it too. We just keep on pushing. You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Other programs on Time for the Awakening Media on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. All times I'm going to give are Eastern Times. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, this evening, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. There is a relationship program on Thursday. I got to get the details at 7 p.m. right here on Time for an Awakening Media on Wednesday, on Thursdays. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, once again, it's Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Let's get back to the discussion. And we have another caller. Caller 404. Go ahead. Good afternoon.
Hey, my brother. How you doing? You hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead. Go ahead, Wes.
Yes, sir, man. Hey. Hey, first of all, I want to thank Dr. Rogers, man. He showed me something, man. His show last night was pretty good, but
it was. I listened a little bit of it. I was going in and out because I was out and about in the city, but I was trying to catch a lot of it. The young lady who we had on last night, that was pretty good. Go ahead, Wes.
Right. Yeah, but I want to talk about his show, not last night, but the one before that, last week. He posted something about the Shirley Plantation house in Virginia. And check this out. I'm going to tell you how the universe works, man. Okay? All right? You know that movie, The Green Book, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's a true story about that black guy, Dr. Shirley, the musician.
Right.
All right? Something to turn the tie all this in. I know his sister, man. We grew up together, right? And so me and her talk from time to time what's going on. And so she said they lied in that movie talking about they couldn't find his family, right? Okay. And by the time the family had found out about the movie, they realized that they were talking about her brother. And so they trying to figure out how they're going to play this about, getting their reparations and all that. Fast forward to Dr. Rogers. He posted that picture. He was talking about the Shirley Plantation. So I sent it to my sister. And lo and behold, that's her folks, man. Because ain't too many people in America with that last name. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I'm just using that as an example of the way the universe lining up. So she did some digging on the Shirley Plantation. And that was her folks. And they sold tobacco and sold her folks in between Jamaica and America. So now she in line to investigate to get her reparation for her family, man. Okay, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Okay, hold on, Wes. Okay.
Yeah.
Reparations from the Shirley family, from the Caucasians who owned that plant. Is that what you're talking about, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, bingo. That's what she investigated. Okay? She gonna eventually find out how much money they made off her family, and then she gonna get her reparations. How much is she gonna get? It's up to her to play it. How she gonna do this? So that's what
let me say this. I know that the Shirley family, Don Shirley's family, was not happy with the production. They felt it was not true, you know. And of course, all the movies, even Black Panther, is presented to us from a Caucasian perspective.
Right.
Just like Brother Frank said earlier, when the lion begins to tell the story, it'll be a different story than when the hunter tells the story. Okay? And so, I'm saying that now, if she can't, you know, prove that what happened and so forth, she could sue. I don't know. There may be a settlement. I doubt it. I doubt if he can sue. But see, it's just like the conversation we had Monday. The conversation Monday was ADOS. And I even hate to say the damn name, but American Descendants of Slaves. I hate that. American Descendants of Slavery. And their push for reparations is for only American descendants, not refugees, not immigrants, nobody coming who's been coming here for the last 100 years.
With confidence, and he doubled down on it when people challenged him on it. I thought,
and see,
been going on.
I still got to look at who's behind that group, man.
I'm not even sure that.
Finance.
I look at it.
Damn daughters of Koch brothers.
No, no, I needed a lot of feedback. Hold on, let me.
The best way to stop a revolution is to make a fake control opposition, a fake counterfeit revolution. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
So that's why I studied the art of war and see who behind this ADOS group. So see that ADOS group, they said some derogatory stuff about Dr. Francis Kress. Okay? That Yvette Carnell and this LGBTQ thing, man. Okay, so now it's something so trickery. This ain't 1960, where they put some bootleg people up to act like they for us and be working for the enemy. Now, hell no, we investigating everybody. That's why I like my man Otis, man. He called in from time to time, and he posts a lot of stuff. And see me, hey, bro, I investigate Lottie Dottie and everybody. You can't put nobody up talking about they starting a revolution for us and they getting paid by the enemy, man, to be a doggone illusionist. So therefore, this ADOS, I look at it this way and spell that shit backwards and you get soda. Okay? That's the way I look at it, man. I dissect all this shit.
Okay, well, all right, Jay. I mean, all right, Wes. I'm sorry, Jay.
Yeah, it's all good. You call me whoever. It's all good.
Okay.
That's why I love my man Jay, because he like me, man. We go behind and find the damn the wisdom.
What did Wes just say?
He said he likes you. You a researcher like him.
Yeah, we investigate stuff, man. We don't fall for the doggone puppet. We go for the puppet master.
I hear you, Wes. I hear you. But hey, Brother Franklin, you know, yeah, we never heard your take on this ADOS, man. What's your feelings on this, brother?
American Descendants of Slaves.
What's my mind?
Well,
what's the question?
He said, well, Jay, he hasn't researched it enough. He, you know, he doesn't, you know, I dealt with it on Monday. And because I've seen it for the last few weeks. And like I said, I don't like the title of it. And I don't like what they're doing. In fact, I'll read to you what my good brother, Conrad Wuerl, had to say concerning, you know, this ADOS. Because he's firmly against it. He's firmly against it because why? It's divisive. They're only saying that American Africans who have come up through the enslavement process, not immigrants from Caribbean, not refugees from anywhere else that are us as Africans, not immigrants from Africa or refugees that come from Africa. No, only American Africans should be allowed. They're saying only American Africans that develop a affirmative action program, that only American Africans, not women, not so-called minorities, can access, only us. And a few other things they're talking about in that scenario. So, you know, I'm going to try to find this piece from Conrad, and I'm going to read that.
Much of the debt owed to the Africans in the Caribbean is owed by France, such as Haiti, and the Great Britain, such as the Bahamas. The Bahamas was a British colony. So those who owe many of the people in the Caribbean are the British as well as the French. So there is some merit to the not paying those blacks that are in the Caribbean because they are owed by Great Britain.
And I mean, my contention is the British is American. The French is American. The Spanish is American. The Portuguese, the Germans, you get my drift. They're Europeans. American crackers, white folks, Caucasians, they're Europeans. And so we're looking at them in its totality. We're not just separating that. We need to fight for reparations for African people for the harm that has been done to us from the continent throughout the diaspora. That's what needs to happen.
True that.
You know, we're not separating that. If you remember, I did a program about some Jamaicans, the Rastafari, the Rastafarians in Jamaica. They petitioned to Britain for reparations, not for all Jamaicans, for them. For them. I'm saying we don't need to do that, y'all. It's divisive. We have an organization, the National Coalition for Blacks for Reparations in America, in Coburn, which they're having their convention in June, to be a part of that. Now, I know that ADOS is having a convention in October, which is understandable because October has been designated as African Liberation Month because of some of the things that have happened. Some could argue August because of the number of people who are born in August, such as Marcus Garvey and so forth. But whatever, we need to first come together. We will only get reparations, seek reparations, when we are a stronger people. Only. All other groups, with the exception of European Jews, have received reparations, the Japanese, even the Native Americans, and of course the indigenous Native Americans.
Slave masters.
Yeah.
Former slave masters.
See? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the French. The French got reparations and still receive reparations from Haiti. Because under the threat of being bombed and killed by the United States and Britain and Spain, they had to acquiesce and pay the French. If you remember the British, after the British stopped the enslavement, the British government paid Caucasians who lost in that trade. You see? So we have to understand that a lot of times, you know, everything is done with them in mind. They never seek real justice and real retribution and real reparations for those who they have harmed.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, in all of this, and Cobra, this so-called ADS movement, and all other reparation groups are going to have to come together and work this thing out so that there could be some form of understanding on how this thing is going to move forward. Because if it's not done properly, 2 years from now, the same BS is going to be going on. Because the truth of the matter is, like my brother just said to me, we are our own worst enemy. You know, there should be no friction, no fighting, no nothing going on in regards to this whole ADOS reparation thing. I mean, to me, yo, some of the things that I'm seeing on Twitter, some of the things that I'm hearing remind me of COINTELPRO back in the days with SNCC in the USA and all of these other groups, man. It's just silliness. If we are supposed to be more mature than this and more advanced than what we're showing right now in regards to this whole reparation thing. You got Pan-Africans pitted against non-Pan-Africans. I mean, it's just silly. It's really silly. And I don't even honestly know how learned some of these people really are. I don't even know what these people's intellectual background is, because they're not nationalists. They're damn sure not culture nationalists, and they're not Pan-Africanists. So the bottom line is, they just, to me, quackers.
Okay, Negroes.
That's what they are. They basically Negroes on the highest order.
Okay.
Hey, that's why I say you got to investigate anybody in the group that come out and talk about it for the people. Investigate who behind it. See who's the ventriloquist, not the ventriloquist dummy.
Yep, okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't know who the ventriloquist is. I mean, I ain't getting caught up in that, because I don't think the puppet master is doing too much with this one. He can just let it play itself out because of ego and people non-visionary analysis and all of these other things. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, what is the end game? Everything has to have an end game. Now, if you think that you're going to get Negroes to not vote for their daddy, whichever daddy is choosing for them. Remember these words. Not selected by them, but choosing for them. Then you're out of your mind. You know, the bottom line is, the show how sick the Negro is. And this is really sad to say. How could, honestly, any black person that didn't support Hillary Clinton now support this piece of sugar on the ice tea, Joe Biden, who was the architect of it all? Come on.
But hey, I did some investigating on Joe Biden too, man. Hey, my man, I investigated Joe Biden too, man. He's a straight up pedophile that likes little girls, man. Okay? He's taking shots. I'm telling you, man, Joe Biden is a devil, man. Okay? It's out there, man. When you hear him talking about some little girl, and everybody had to hide their little girls, man. Obama had to hide his daughters away from that devil, man.
Well, I'm telling you, man. Joe Biden, all of them, every one of them, ain't about nothing. Okay?
Right.
Joe Biden was in office when Clinton and them initiated the crime bill, which put our people, and he was in great support of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's bull. All of them. The whole system.
True that.
So let me get another call. 602, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshi and company.
All right, my brother.
Yes, my brother. Good morning, Brother Marcus. So, you know, they know that Pan-Africanism is on the rise, you know. They know because they keep their ears to the ground. They see Pan-Africanism is on the rise. And in fact, Pan-Africanism done broke out in Sudan, in the Republic of the Sudan, giving Bashir hell over here now. You see? So Pan-Africanism is on the rise. All we have to do is ignore these people here. Ignore them. You see? Ignore these ADOS people and them. You know what I'm saying? If that's the line they want to, fine. You know what I'm saying? Don't give them no... Because they are definitely not Pan-Africanists. They have stated it. You see what I'm saying? They have stated that. But we on the rise. So don't give them life. You know? Ignore them. That's what I do. I don't even... acknowledge Carnell and Moore. You know what I'm saying? Because who the hell are they? Where they come from? You know what I'm saying? Some people make two documentary and come out and say, oh, they are some authority and black issues. So hell with them people, man. We just got to keep on track what we doing. See? Pan-Africa. Because that is the solution. That's the solution. You see? It ain't... Hey, white folks ain't gonna give you nothing. Why would white folks give powerless people? You know what I'm saying? You ain't got no power. Why they go, oh, well, I'm gonna feel sorry for you not give you power. Hell no. It's just lip service. You know, so
point, you know, it was a breath of fresh air to hear from the sister last week from in Botswana. You know, it was a breath of fresh air, that beautiful sister. And Botswana is a beautiful country.
Yes.
They don't even, the police don't even carry guns down there. The police don't carry no guns. That's how peaceful that place is. You know, it's, and it's a beautiful country. Food is cheap because the government subsidizes food. You know, so there are countries in Africa that's making positive moves. Look, to hell with these people who want to hang out here with these crackers and trying to get a better relation. The cracker having problem with his own thing. He having problems, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's do for self or death. Ain't no other solution because, as I say, you can't look for the cracker to save you. He trying to save his own damn self. Anyway, good brothers, thank you so much. It's always a great appreciation.
Thank you. Thank you always.
You guys.
All right, peace.
All right.
You know, we now have less than 30 minutes left. I want to go into a teaching, share some information that benefits us. Dominance, those who dominate the culture always use deception. Have any of you ever wondered why is it that black crimes are so overrepresented in the media and white crimes are underrepresented? There is a science to maintaining dominance, and I want to explain what you're seeing. Once you understand it, it no longer has power on you. The tactic is called manufactured consent to mistreat. Whenever those that are in power wants to create a societal setting that allows their mistreatment of a targeted population, they create propaganda, describing the targeted population as a major problem of society through lies and manufactured news. This creates a consensual setting that justifies the mistreatment of the people. This is what's being done to us. What this more specifically means is to turn a harmless population into a fearsome enemy of society through false negative news media propaganda. Then use the false negative perception of the group to justify killing them, mistreating them. It is this reason why police officers can routinely kill black people and avoid being indicted by merely say they fear for their lives. This propaganda was also used against the cause of Jews during World War II. They couldn't just go grab them and throw them in ovens, even though the numbers exaggerated. They had to create a setting that vilified the Jews. And that's what's happening in our society. We are being continually vilified. And this vilifying of us also divides us. Because when we continually see negative perception, negative image of us, we start hating our own people, resenting our own people. And then we get to the point where we can't stand our people because of these narratives. We have to understand the attack on our minds, the attack on our image. We have to recognize all of this is a science. And I don't want us to go out of this program today without recognizing and learning. I'm asking you to study manufactured consent to mistreat. Learn these things. Mass gaslighting. There are people, there are social engineering scientists and propaganda designers who continually to manipulate our minds. It is no strange coincidence that we have a segment of our population who believe that we are the indigenous American. It is no strange coincidence that we have the black Hebrews who hate Africans. These ideologies are created by certain groups and spread through our community. It is no strange coincidence that many of our people are calling themselves nigger with an A or niggers, G-U-S. This is all by design because negative words affect us negatively and the subconscious mind doesn't see the new spelling. We have to recognize there's a science to maintaining white dominance, and we must learn it, teach it, and share the information. So I don't particularly follow what the white media puts out for us to talk about. Learn the things they don't want us talking about. Learn the tactics of how they maintain their dominance, how they use psychological warfare, how they miseducate us. There's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for everything they do. The time and energy they put into miseducation of black children is designed to maintain white dominance. The time and energy they placed into vilifying our image is designed to create a setting that makes their mistreatment of us appear justifiable. And it also divides us at our core. There's a reason why we have to start studying and understanding these information and teach and share it. If we don't recognize what's being done to us, we will forever stay mentally enslaved.
Ashe. And that's our problem. We don't want to deal with, you know, I often say Caucasians suffer from cognitive dissonance. And cognitive dissonance means that you have a core belief That core belief is so strong that when there's something that confronts that core belief, you reject it. Even though Caucasians' core belief is that they are superior over all humanity. They are at the top. I grant it to say that because of that core belief, they put themselves in that position through murder, through theft, corruption, manipulation, undermining all the other groups. They put themselves in that position. And so when now they're confronted with that, and even though there's a plethora of information stating otherwise, they ignore it. They dismiss it because it will cause a feeling with them that makes them uneasy. So they reject that core belief. So there's nothing we can do, brothers and sisters. I will say it again. There is nothing we can do to make them change that. What is the problem, though? Is that we've internalized that into believing, because of what they have done, to believe that we are inferior. Just like they are superior, we are inferior. I mean, only a people who would have that mindset would bleach their skin to the degree that we do. Only a people who would have long ass hair. I mean, I was watching the news the other day, every station here in Atlanta, and even the people on national news, everybody had this hair. Nobody had their hair. Nobody had natural hair because we have been brainwashed. Go ahead, Frank.
The position of dominance now held by Caucasian is not the result of them being superior. They exceed other race only at mass manipulation and deceit, mass exploitation, and mass murder. And they've used those skills to acquire their position of power, but it's not the result of a superior intellect whatsoever. They distort reality easily because they control the narratives that society receives, so they constantly feed us information that perpetuates white superiority while marginalizing black people. You see, society does not function based upon reality and facts. Societies function based upon the narratives that are routinely fed in society, and white people create all societal narratives. So this allows them to create narratives that falsely exalt themselves while marginalizing us, and we then function based upon it.
And so this narrative that they created, giving themselves a top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position, and that has had deep, dire consequences on us globally. Look at our situation globally. Dr. Clark said it best. We have no friends. Everywhere around the planet, people of a darker hue, people who are deeply melanated, are relegated to the lowest of low, just like the Dravidians, in India, the Dravidians, who were great people. And then the Indians coming out of the Caucasus Mountains, you know, to create what we see today in India. And they created a caste system with the lightest or most lightest people at the top, and every grade of color of skin in a descending form, with the darkest people at the bottom being the most despised, the most denigrated, the most demeaned. You see, so this is not something that happens natural. This is not natural. This is not natural. This happens because of an evil mindset of a people who grew up in an environment that caused them to have the mindset that they have, the selfishness, the greediness, the hatefulness, the sexist.
Yes.
One thing that the Europeans did not understand, how we treated our women. When the Greeks studied at the feet of African people, yes, Greeks studied at the feet of African people. Yes. Even though they went back to Greece and they had the mentality that they have, they couldn't feel what we had produced. That's why they were lovers of themselves. You can see Greek statues of Greeks with little boys and men kissing men. You don't see Greek statues like we see in Kemet of a man and a woman, their complementarity have. You don't see that. You don't see that in Greece.
And so they subverted it. The Greeks, when they conquered and came into Kemet during Alexander, the so-called great time, and his philosopher, Aristotle, that's why all those Greeks became the father of this, the father of that. They had no originality. They're thieves. They're appropriators. They're liars. And I put nothing past them today to continue with that happening. You see?
Yes, you know, our problem is we've normalized what has been done to us. We normalize calling ourselves niggers. We normalize bleaching our skins. We've normalized wearing long blonde weaves. We've normalized. And as long as we normalize, we will never overcome it. We must recognize that these are symptoms of the war against our minds. The fact that many of us are bleaching our skins and we are discriminating against those who are more melanated, these are symptoms of a socialization of our minds. We must recognize it and stop normalizing it. Like some of us, some of our women say, well, I want a light-skinned baby, so I'm going to look for a white man. These are not normal. These are the result of social engineering of black minds to think in ways that serve the interests of white society. We must recognize it and stop normalizing this behavior. It's not normal to walk around with our pants hanging off our asses. This is not normal.
And you see, about a month ago, you had a professional football player who proposed to his Caucasian fiance, and then they had a baby, and they were, or either they have some friends that had a baby, but they were, but what they were talking about, we got to make more light skinned babies.
Shit, huh?
You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. That's sick. That's sad.
Sad, sad.
You know,
sad.
That's just, you know, that the psychopathic behavior of Europeans, how it has affected us so deeply. That makes us believe that, yes, we want to have light skin. We want to breed ourselves out of existence. How crazy is that?
And there are many black people who believe that we will be better if we keep mixing with them until we get lighter, lighter, and lighter. This mindset, this self-hating mindset is by design because we are rarely given racially affirming information. Every day, first of all, through systematic miseducation and unrelenting media programming, we're constantly bombarded with black denigrating information. And we avoid, and we deny black racially affirming information. When people are constantly bombarded with negative information, they start to become self-hating. And these narratives that make us self-hating come from white sources. In fact, we know nothing about our collective state that didn't come from whites. They tell us who we are. They tell us how good we're doing, how bad we're doing. They tell black women that black men on crap, and they tell black men that white black women on crap. All of our narratives come from white people. White people who maintain their dominance by keeping us demoralized and divided. We have to understand that sadly, when we are programmed to believe the worst of ourselves, we only see those things that appear to confirm the programming, although the programming is untrue. You have to understand this is a science that they're using against us.
And so we must infuse ourselves with knowledge of self. I often mention that we need to consciously step outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us to look at the cracker for who and what he is, not that we can change them. That is a big waste of time. That's why I'm saying there is no need for discussions. There's no need for debates. Hell with that. You know what they have done. Understand, get the history. You know what they have done and start to plan for our future. You know, they have a vice grip on our minds. If you understand that tool, once you clamp the vice grip, you cannot pull it apart. And this is a great analogy because that is what happens. That is what happened. The only way you can get that vice grip released, there's that knob at the end of the handle. You turn that knob. The metaphor is that turning that knob is knowledge of self. The more knowledge you have of yourself and more confidence you have in you, the more you can turn that knob till finally you release the tension and open the vice grip. And then deal with Cracker for who and what he is. Once again, I'm not saying to change him, not even challenge him, but you know who they are and what we have to do to change us, to make us believe in ourselves, to make us love each other. Okay?
Here is the hidden reality. While white societies, through their military strength, can invade, rob, and enslave black people, they cannot win the loyalty of black people or sustain peace with black people for long unless systems are put in place to keep black people loyal or to suppress dissent from rising amongst us. White social scientists and propaganda designers learned a long time ago that by constantly inundating black people with fraudulent, negative, black racially demoralizing narrative, they could create black self-hatred, division, and even make black people more compliant with white dominance over our lives. It is a well-proven psychological warfare campaign. This mass manipulation system misleads black people to believe that it's ourselves that are our own worst enemy. This shifts our collective aggression away from the white oppressive society and redirects them inward against ourselves. This is a science. Throughout history, the oppressed, whenever people are oppressed for long, their collective aggressions against the oppressors will swell, and this result in retaliation and retribution against the oppressors. Oppressors maintain their dominance and prevent this retribution by turning the oppressed against themselves. My point to you, the self-hate we're seeing, It is by design. It's how white society protects themselves from unified black retribution. They control the information, and their goal is to keep us divided and self-hating. We must see this true system, and rather than leaning our minds toward Willie Lynch myths and biblical prophecy, and learn this is a science. There's a science of how they maintain their dominance. We must learn it, study it, teach it, share it, and overcome it.
You know, we got a caller. Let's take this call. 703-703. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, well, my name is Sadala, and I am originally from Ethiopia. And I saw your discussion regarding Chinese, what they're doing in Ethiopia. And I really do appreciate that, you know. Most of us are here voiceless, so for you to come out and say what you're supposed to say, and it's been mind-blowing, it's been crazy how everything is working out, but this is the downfall of my country, and at first it was just set up for division on tribes. And it was done mostly by Europeans and Arabs, and of course America is involved. And now when we have that kind of problem, they want to take over all our resources. And I just want to appreciate it to Dr. Johnson for what you come up to say. And if I need to help anything, I'll be very glad to. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, dear. Thank you for listening and continue to listen. Reality
hey,
is
Osha, that... Ask about that plane that crashed in Ethiopia, man. Ask about that. What you know about that?
Yeah, I heard about that, and they said it is a fault, a plane fault. The plane is a brand new plane. It just came like February, and this is our first incident ever. And it's been like 5-star aeroplane. They were very expert. We had a lot of good experts in flying. But they said it's a problem with the plane, and this is happening also in Indonesia. It's the same plane, and it happened the same way. So we don't know where we're going from here, but, you know, things are already happening. We'll find out in the future what's going on.
Well,
because there was a lot of good people on that plane from the UN and a lot of good
from
people.
From everywhere.
You ready to
have a
conference in Ethiopia, right?
Yeah, they're from UN, from Israel, from Chinese. Now, you know, the whole world is coming to our land. They've been preaching it's a poor country, but evidently they knew there's a whole lot of resource under the ground that they've never touched before. Of course, they have done to all Africans, but Ethiopia was the one that they've never put their hands on, so they know what there is. So they're coming towards that, and I mean, the people are still suffering. I mean, there's so much poor people in that country. You would be amazed. On top of that, we're just about to go to civil war. It looks like we have a government who is elected by nobody. Elected them. They elected themselves, and it's tribal. We had it before. And they transfer to these people. This become a serious tribal again. So it's really bad, but all this is done to us. It was all set up from the beginning. It was a setup. This is where we are, and we're just right now praying to the Lord. But, of course, people are preparing for civil war.
And I guarantee
in the middle of that, they want to be a rescue. In the middle of that, they want to come and rescue us, and then they take over. And that's what they do.
I guarantee that's what they're doing. That's how them devils do, man.
And you're right.
What
and
they
you're
do,
right.
That's what like, they've done to the world.
Trump. Yeah. And see,
man, everybody fighting against each other. Therefore, we can't see the fight them.
Oh yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, we were like, yeah, we cannot even. I cannot even talk to African American here. I'm like in one corner. I cannot do anything with Africans for African Americans, and just, I mean, no, just like alone. I sometimes feel like, my God, I'm just alone at a job. Everybody has his own clique. You know, Spanish has, African American has, Africans has, everybody has, and I'll be just alone because that's how they want us to be.
Well, see, once again, what they want is to keep you in fear, keep you ignorant, and keep you thinking as an individual.
Yeah, they keep us in distance, and they keep us alone, and they just do that. You know, I came out to say I don't care what they do to me because I have no children here, but everybody's afraid of this and that. But I say, well, I don't care anymore because my country, too. So,
well, I'm sorry happening.
I've been saying stuff. I know what they're doing. Everybody knows what they're doing. They just don't say much.
Well, I understand what's happening globally and those of us who do. And I think the only solution, of course, for us is to come together in a Pan-African ideology and, more importantly, a Pan-African push physically for us to come together. It's the only way. It's the only Dr. Clark said it best. The only solution for us is a dynamic Pan-Africanism that is spiritual, cultural, and technological. We will be taking from the old Africa to prepare for the new Africa to come. You see?
That would be, you know, which is great, but they don't allow you to do that. They will do a lot of damage, and I know what has been done here to African Americans, and they take it out on the street. If they don't want to touch you, they'll take it out on the street, and I know how they do it. So it's really sad, but I guess we just have to fight it. If it's minority, that's okay. People run away because they're afraid of, you know, losing their kids or something's going to happen to their life, and this tribal government will kill you too when you go there.
No, I agree with you. I understand that. I understand how the government of Ethiopia and the many African governments, because they have individuals who are puppets, individuals who are neo-colonialists, individuals who are despots or dictators, or individuals who only their clan, only their so-called family. What I'm saying, clearly, for the survival of African people, the only solution is to embrace Pan-Africanism, do away with the titles, do away with all of the divisions, do away with all the tribalism, any factions. Yeah. To come together to work for the benefit of Africa. Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, Dr. Sheikh Andre Jop, all of these men and women believe that we are one Africa. And the sooner we come together, it's not just about Ghana or Nigeria or Ethiopia. It is about us as African people. We are the richest people on the planet. But because we're divided and we're at each other, the puppet master, the Europeans, the Caucasians, the Urugu, he takes the wealth and he keeps us at each other's throat.
They make sure of that. Now the Chinese is all over there.
Yes.
And they tie with the government and they're taking all the mining and people are like...
The Chinese is the new colonial. The Chinese is the new colonial that are in that continent of Africa.
And they do whatever they want to. They use the little girls for sex. and they beat up people and they get away with it?
Yes.
Well, it's never been that way. It's never been. I don't know what happened to my people because they don't usually allow that for the minute. I don't know what happened to them. They're so weak. They don't even stand up for the girls. They don't even stand up for the boys who got beat up by Chinese.
It's a shame. I understand. And believe me.
And because of the government. The government takes side completely for the Chinese.
Because the government is being paid by the Chinese. The government has allowed the Chinese to come and build projects with only Chinese labor. They will not take any labor from the indigenous people. Only the labor and building things and then take resources. And if you don't pay, they will take what they've built to develop a stronghold on the continent.
Well, you know what? I know that the Lord has given a wisdom to my priests and my people. And, you know, they cannot get away. I think the world is going to go down. It's not going to happen. You know, you can see what happened to the Italians. You can see what happened to British, even had the whole world, and she lost everything as soon as she touched Ethiopia. So Russia, they lost their place in the world because that was the last time they messed with Ethiopia. So they're going to be in trouble because Abraham, when God asked him, what do you want to have? Would you like wisdom? Would you like money? Well, he said, no wisdom. So they have the wisdom, even though they don't have the money. They're just patient, just God is patient. So I'm just afraid for the whole world, and actually, I believe in the Lord, and this has been, we have seen that. We have seen it. It just, that make me so much in pain, because I know the people are in pain, in poverty. They're so much in pain, and they cannot see that. They keep building their body, building like they eat, they overeat. At the end, they're going to explode.
You know,
people are hungry over there, and it's so unfair.
I know you're very frustrated. I understand. I know, sister, you're very frustrated. I know this is your first time calling. Yeah. I appreciate your call. I hope that you continue to listen. I hope you continue to call in because that's what this program is about. This program is about understanding the dynamics that are plaguing the African world, whether it's on the continent or anything or anywhere in the diaspora. And particularly here, because for those of us who are in so-called the belly of the beast, who are in England or the UK or in Europe or any other country here in the United States, we understand what you're up against. And it is all about the minds of our people.
Oh, yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Doctor. And we appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much and continue to listen. Okay.
Peace
and blessings. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Well, Brother Frank, what some closing remarks?
As I always say, it's always a pleasure and an honor to be on your program. There's no other program like it. Keep liberating the minds of our people. One love always, my brother.
Well, thank you, dear brother. I appreciate that. And I'm just one of many of us who will do any and everything that we can to help bring information and knowledge to our people so we can break release the vice grip that this cracker has put on our minds or break the chains that they have on our minds. Whatever analogy you want to use, whatever use members you want to use, the bottom line is it is about the mind. We are at war for the minds of our people. We are at war and the front line is those of us who want to inject the knowledge of self, to purge yourself of that ignorance, all those false beliefs about you, all that inferior thinking and believe that you cannot overcome, all the fear that they put into us, all the ignorance and the idea that you are an individual. You see, there's a saying that individualism is a white desire, but collectivism is an African imperative, a must. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed.
This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed day. Hope you'll be with us on Friday. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibifahodia. Abibifahodia means our victorious destiny. Abibifahodia family. Peace.